For us. Good evening. Thank you for being here. This evening we are going to present our cost of service study overview for both the sewer and solid waste utilities. With us we have our consultant, Kyle Stevens, to present. And I'll just turn it over to Kyle.
Perfect. Now, thank you so much, Aaron, and look forward to covering all the topics this afternoon or this evening, as it were, that we'll be conducting as part of this study. Put together a brief presentation to cover the different elements of the study that we'll be examining for the city. For this particular rate study, we'll be looking into the sewer utility as well as the solid waste utility in detail. A quick agenda for this evening to cover the different elements of the study. First, I'll be just talking about the general industry that utilities operate in and some of the challenges that utilities such as the City of Columbia as well as others face in the fact that they're very capital intensive and a bit different than some of the other services and goods that we interact with in our daily lives. And additionally, I'll be taking a bit more time to go through in detail the three big elements of the rate study for each of the utilities we're looking at. So that's a revenue sufficiency, cost of service, rate design, and then for the sewer utility, the connection fee. And then also at the end, I'll just be talking about the project timeline and when we expect to have the deliverables in this study completed as we move through the springtime period. And so just quick background, Stantec Consulting, as Aaron mentioned, I'm Kyle Stevens with Stantec Consulting. Stantec is a top 10 design firm, a global engineering firm, and I sit specifically in the management and technology component of the company, which covers roughly on the utility side 25% to 30% of the U.S. population in the sense that we've served them through rate studies or debt issuance support and helped them with a manner of issues related to utility rates. We are a group that's been growing rapidly here. I think we're up to over 50 consultants now that work full-time in this industry with municipal partners much like the City of Columbia. And so what is a rate study? Let's start there first, and we'll dive into the elements. The best way to think about this is it's a series of interconnected investigations. And so we're trying to answer several detailed questions about the utility and its operations. First and foremost, we start with the biggest one, which is how much does it cost to run the utility? Not only today, and usually the city, much like the City of Columbia, has a really good idea through its budget of the expenditures in the next fiscal year, but really taking that and building that out into the future to think about the next 5 years, the next 10 years, what types of investments do we need to make, what maybe are changes in services that are coming down the line that we need to plan for, and then comparing that to current revenue levels to see if we're fundamentally sustainable over time. From that jumping off point, we then next move to the cost of service analysis, which on here I've said from whom. What we're doing here is a much more deep dive into 1 year's expenditures to understand how those expenditures align with the way the service is delivered. So for example, in solid waste, how much of the expenditure related to collection maybe versus disposal or material recovery, and really thinking about the different ways that the utility supports those different functions. And ultimately, connecting that back to how customers use the service and the different ways that different customers may use the service. So current industry challenges, utilities, as I mentioned, are a bit special in the way that they interact with the world at large. And so there's a few unique trends that are out there that I'm sure we will see in this study as we get into the data, but we should think about up front as we embark on this journey together into the study. And so I've put a couple of these up here. The first is reductions in use. And so this has been a historical challenge for utilities, both on the water side and the wastewater side specifically. Basically relates to the idea of over time folks get more efficient with their usage. And while that's great on one side, on the utility side that means potentially lower revenues over time, and we need to account for that. We've seen that trend really play out over the last 10 years. That's been slowing down a bit, and we'll really want to take a deep dive into the data here as we get into the study to see the impacts of that on potential revenue over time. Aging infrastructure, a really big one. So utilities, as I mentioned, infrastructure heavy, a lot of pipes on the sewer side, in the collection network, that need to be maintained in a state of readiness 24/7. And many of those pipes are old and required continued maintenance across not only Columbia, but within the U.S. And so it's really planning for the eventual replacement of those assets. Additionally, we have regulatory pressures that are changing over time and typically move in the direction of stricter requirements, especially on the wastewater side as it relates to this study. And so factoring those in, making sure that we're meeting all of that and the cost associated with it. Also put down here some of the other elements that I think are maybe more on the side, but do come into play as well. Aging workforce or workforce-related issues. So as I conduct these studies all over, I often hear about the retirements having impact on these utilities, as well as vacancies now has been a bigger one as well, filling all the positions that we have open. And so we do take a look at that as we think about the budgeted expenditures and what we're actually expending in the fund. Customer affordability. So there's always this relationship in the utilities world. As we need additional resources, that increases bills, and we need to think about how that impacts customers. And you know, one of our stated goals is always trying to minimize utility increases and make them as predictable as possible. Additionally, operating cost increases. The most recent period of operations here and really broadly in the economy, we've seen inflation be higher than it has been over the last 10 years. That's had an acute effect on utilities. And so something we're keyed in on and also watching as that inflation starts to slow down a bit. So next, I'll jump into the specific topic. I've got revenue sufficiency up first. How I like to think about revenue sufficiency is it's fundamentally putting all of the pieces of the puzzle together in order to put together a good forecast of how the utility actually operates. I've got a graphic up here where we can see the annual revenue requirement is how we talk about how much we need. And it's really those different pieces of the puzzle, whether it be personnel services, whether it be operating expenditures. So think about things on the sewer side like chemicals or electricity, vehicles, equipment are really big ones. So every once in a while we'll need to replace vehicles, and they've definitely gotten more expensive over time. So we need to plan for those and include those in our plan. We might have debt service. So on the wastewater side of the equation, we have some debt we've borrowed historically. We are continuing to pay that over time. So we need to plan for that and ensure that we can meet all the covenants associated with it. One of the larger dynamics that goes into the financial plan is capital planning. And so while some of the elements of utility are relatively stable, the budgets over time, capital planning tends to be one that ebbs and flows over time. So some years we might have a heavier need on capital spending, other years it might be a bit lighter. What this revenue sufficiency allows us to do is put all of that in there and look at how it works over that 5 and 10 year period, and are we sustainable given the revenues and in the current fund balances that we have. So this is another presentation of the results, an example here of a model. So as we go through the revenue sufficiency part of the study, what we're fundamentally doing is taking all of the great data that the city currently has, the balances, the expenditure data, the operating budget, and we're bringing it into a model that tries to best replicate the realities on the ground through conversations with the city's subject matter experts. And finally, we'll get to a product here where we can look at a panel of the results in a simple graphical format where we can look at different scenarios, whether that be different levels of capital spending or different rate plan scenarios in order to determine what might be the most sustainable or best mix of scenarios and rate plans for the city going forward. And this is something we provide at the end of the study to the city as well for ongoing beneficial use. One of the elements I wanted to show here to just give a little bit of context as we enter a study like this, each city is unique, but as I mentioned, we do operate in this broader economy. Inflation has been one of those big elements. And when we think about inflation, most often we're thinking about consumer prices. This graphic that I put up on the screen right now has consumer prices on the black line here, and it shows the cumulative change since the turn of the millennium, since 2000, roughly 87% increase in cumulative cost from that period for the consumer price index as measured by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. However, in that measurement, a Bureau of Labor and Statistics has sub-indices that they track as well. And relevant to our study today, they specifically look at the CPI for water and sewer. And that is a great metric where it holds use study at 5,000 gallons a month and looks at the change of the cost of those services for households across the U.S. You'll notice that one's quite a bit higher. So instead of 87%, it's up to 219%. That goes exactly to the point I was talking about a minute ago. The basket of goods that utilities are purchasing looks a lot different than a household, much more intensive on the capital space, and we see the cost pressures much higher on the utility front. Interesting enough, sanitation or garbage sits in between the two. So it's not as high as water and sewer. It's not necessarily the same kind of distributed infrastructure, but of course we have the large vehicles and trucks and the landfill costs associated with that one. That's up 140% since the turn of the millennium. So definitely see a bit more cost pressure on the utility side than overall in the U.S. economy. And finally, here on the revenue sufficiency, I think what's helpful, and I've mentioned a few of these as we've thought about the revenue sufficiency exercise that we go through in the first part of the study, you know, what really moves the needle here. So there's a lot of components that go into this study and different data points that we get from the city in order to build a model like this in a forecast. But when you get down to it, there really are a few moving pieces that really rise above the rest. So the first, as I mentioned, capital investment need. We have a lot of conversations about the adopted capital plan, what's happening on the system, and what the needs are in the next 5 to 10 years in order to make sure that we've got that projected correctly in the model. And you know, changes in the timing of that capital plan or the magnitude can have a very large impact on rates because those are often some of our lumpier expenditures that we have to plan for. Mentioned operating cost pressures. Of course, we're factoring that in and having conversations about how the budget's evolved over the years. And then thinking about in the future, how best to forecast the ongoing inflation that we might expect over the next 5 or 10 years. Regulatory compliance. And then finally, I think that's pertinent as well as we think about sewer and solid waste tonight is the time since the last rate adjustments. And so in these particular utilities, it's been a number of years since on the sewer side, 2019. So it's been a number of years since these rates have been adjusted. And so revenues have been maintained at that certain level, while costs have, of course, increased over that time. And so we'll want to be looking closely at that comparison and thinking about that context as we get the answers from the revenue sufficiency. Next, we'll be talking about the deep dive, so cost of service. I always start with cost of service from an industry context. So when we're thinking about the study in front of us here that we're launching into tonight, we're first going to look at industry resources, a by-the-book approach, if you will, for cost of service. On the wastewater side, we've got MOP 27, or the Manual of Practice 27 from WEF, the Water Environmental Federation, which provides a very detailed a principled guide in which we take a test year of expenditures and we break those expenditures out to the different functions that the utilities supporting. I'm going to show those in the next few slides, but you can think about that essentially following the water, if you will, from your house through the collection system over to the treatment plant. On the solid waste side, it's a little bit different. We have a few other industry groups out there that do from time to time put out different guidance on how to set rates. Solid waste rates tend to be a bit more dynamic, a bit more variety from city to city. So GFOA, Finance Officers Association, Solid Waste Association of North America, both of those have some industry guidelines out there that talk about pricing. I tend to think those are really good starting points, especially on the solid waste side. But of course, what we're also doing is customizing or thinking about the uniqueness of the way that the services are provided in the city here in Columbia, Missouri, and incorporating that within the cost of service. So it's starting with the industry guidelines, but then, of course, adapting it to what we're doing on the ground so that we can make those as accurate as possible. So spend a little bit of time on this next slide. Cost of service is probably the most abstract element of a rate study. And what this graphic does is tries to demystify that a little bit. And so I start on the left, that 2027 revenue requirement. That's what's going to come out of our first effort, the revenue forecasting side. It's going to determine how much the total cost is to run the utilities and what we need to recover in rates. We'll then remove off of that some miscellaneous revenue. So, of course, we have interest income, and we have various miscellaneous charges that come in. With that revenue comes in, we back that off so that the rates only need to support the remainder. And then finally, the cost of service on the far right is really this exercise of taking those remaining dollars that we need to recover and trying to put them in the right bucket with regards to what services are being provided. And so on the sewer side here, what I've broken out are the big functions that are typically thought of. So first being the idea of collection. So we have a system of underground pipes that are collecting wastewater from our various different customers, moving it to the larger interceptors all the way over to the treatment plant where it is treated and and finally disposed of. Once we have those functions broadly identified, we then move to cost components. And cost components are a way for us to think about measured constituents here of use of the service. And so on the wastewater side, flow is the first one. We're thinking about the total volume that we need, that we receive from customers. We measure that in hundreds of cubic feet per month. And so that's the first. We just think about the total volume. But then in wastewater, the next level is thinking about what's in that wastewater, what needs to be treated. Primarily in the industry, that is BOD or biochemical oxygen demand and TSS or total suspended solids. So it's two different measurements of the necessary treatment that needs to be performed on the wastewater in order for it to get ready for its ultimate disposal. And then down at the bottom, I've got the customer component as well. So there are certain functions, think about utility billing, inquiries to the utility department that aren't necessarily directly related to service, but under the broader envelope or umbrella of the utility that we do need to consider as well in the scaling for those costs. I've also put here in the little box here, I think it's helpful, it's just the common units of measurement. So this very much goes down to the end of the day, you know, when we do bill or we do think about customers. Most commonly, we're thinking on this side about two different elements. So we're measuring the connection size for non-single family users. So thinking about how larger users can place much larger potential demands on the system over time is a large difference between a 5-inch meter and a 4-inch meter or an 8-inch meter on the water side, and correspondingly how much wastewater might come back. Additionally, there's the measured usage, as I mentioned, in CCF that is a very broad metric of the kind of wastewater and the quantity that we need to deal with within the system. We then change, just flipping gears over to solid waste, put over the same graphic here, and I'll focus on the right side of this particular screen. So on the solid waste side of the equation, again, first in the background in the colors, we're going to be moving to functions, and we're breaking it down on this side really fundamentally into first the collection, so going out into the field, removing the refuse or the recycling material, and then transmitting it over to either the landfill for final disposal or the material recovery facility if it's going to be recycling material. And then when we break that down underneath the solid waste, this one works a little bit differently because we have a number of different customer categories that are in play that have different service configurations. And so I've listed them out here between, you know, residential refuse versus recycling versus commercial front load or rear load versus roll-off and commercial recycling. And each of these represents fundamentally a different type of service, vehicle configuration and personnel that's working in these service lines. And so it's an exercise in ensuring that we've got a strong connection between the type of the function, but then also it's broken down in such a way that it's connected back to these unique lines of service that the City of Columbia provides for its customers. And I'll show you as we get to rates, this will make more sense, but the common units of measurement here, we're really thinking about potential disposal capacity. So that's the size of your roll-off cart that you might put in front of your house. It's the size of the dumpster that might be behind a commercial establishment. And then it goes down to frequency next, thinking about how often we're going out into the field to pick up those containers, and then also what type of waste might be included. I mentioned there's a significant difference between if it's going to be refuse or it might be material that could be recycled or recovered at the material recovery facility. So when we get done with cost of service, well, it's a very detailed analysis line by line to perform those functional allocations and those connections back to service lines. What we're really the answer at the end of the day, and I've put an example of this, is we're trying to get an idea of how close we are currently with regards to the revenue collection from different customer classes to the underlying cost of service. There's usually going to be some variance in there as costs change over time and we update the units of service. What we're really interested to see is how close we are currently. And then as we move to the next step of the process in the rate setting, thinking about what objectives we might have to close the cost of service. In an ideal world, we would love the revenue collected from a given class of customer to be very close to the underlying service over time. So there's a strong cost causation nexus, the idea that you're paying very specifically for the type of services that are being rendered to you. Next, I'll move over to rate design here to talk about the elements of rate design. And I've just put up here these next few slides a starting point for us, the current rates that are in place for both of the utilities that are underneath our study this year. First up is the sewer rates. And as I mentioned, or what's broadly applicable in the industry is two types of rates. One is a fixed monthly base charge, and I've put that up on the first part of this slide here. For single-family homes, that's set at the 5/8 inch level at 1237. But for non-single-family, it'll scale. So as the water meter size changes, you would experience a larger base size. Again, the typical thought there is there's a connection between a larger meter size and the amount of wastewater that you potentially might send to the system, a readiness to serve, if you will, on that side. And then on the bottom side, we also have a component that's a measured component or a volumetric component, and this applies to the amount of volume that you're sending to the wastewater system. We measure this in terms of hundreds of cubic feet or CCF per month, and there's a single charge that applies to all customers. It's currently $255 right now on the system. On the solid waste side, there's a few more moving pieces. You may have noticed on the cost of service, there's a few different service lines that are in place. I put the primary ones up on this slide here right now. A couple things to notice here that will be taken into account as we look at the study. So the first are the residential rates up top. The City of Columbia has a pay-as-you-throw program or a differentiated set of fees for different cart sizes. So you'll see a 35, a 65, a 95-gallon cart size. There's different disposal capacity present in those cart sizes. And so the pricing is dynamic there, depending on how large you choose your container. And so we'll be looking in, as we do the cost of service, the underlying cost related to collection and disposal for that. If you go down to the commercial schedules under there, the breakdown there is a little bit differently. So first, on the full left side, again, we're talking disposal capacity. It's in terms of cubic yards, so 2 yards up to an 8-yard dumpster. And then we're moving over, as we go right across the matrix, to think about how frequent the pickup is. So on a commercial side, the customer is self-selecting the needed frequency related to how much trash or recycling they're generating. And they could move up to 6 times a week across there. And so it's a little bit of a different service line and a different service paradigm, really fundamentally driven by the type of business and how much refuse they're generating. And then you can see down there is also a breakout for the rear loads as well, which is a different apparatus we're using to pick up certain carts that are out there, 2 yards and roll carts. So when we go into rate design, I think it's super helpful to think about this slide really closely as we go into a rate study, which is oftentimes when we talk about rate design, there are multiple objectives. I put a few up here because a few here help me illustrate oftentimes the interplay between these objectives and the fact that some objectives are in direct opposition to one another. So the one I'd love to point out the first is the revenue requirements. We establish that first, how much we need. And oftentimes, as I've presented with in just inevitable inflation over time, utility rates go up. However, that puts pressure on another one of our objectives, which is affordability, keeping rates affordable for customers. The higher rates are and the more revenue we need, the less affordable they are. And so we're always balancing these types of objectives. On the other hand, we want rates to be as simple as they possibly be. That way, they're easily understood. Customers get the correct price signals that we're sending them. But at the same time, they need to be proportional. And if they're going to be proportional, there is a minimum level of complexity there. We need to be able to measure the correct units of service so that the fees scale correctly. And so these are often types of objectives, these and other objectives, that we're considering and thinking about as we go into a rate study in order to balance and come to a spot where we can find the most sustainable rates for a given utility. Then we go down to just a couple examples here of rate impacts. Again, we're at the first step here in the rate study, so we don't have outputs yet. What I've come here is just grabbed a few. What we'll be doing is showing this in a number of different ways. Is oftentimes, like this example, we're showing an average house, 3 CCF per month, regular solid waste service here at the 95-gallon level. And you know, what is the relative change for that household? I think that, you know, one of my jobs in the utility studies, not only to show an average, like I think these are super helpful, but just understanding the full gamut of impacts across customers so that we don't leave anyone out as we make these changes, understanding how maybe different service configurations might impact customers or different usage levels. So oftentimes we'll run these bill impacts at the average level and a larger family level. Maybe it's double the household average within the city so that we can understand if there's going to be unique cost pressures or bill impacts to different users at those different levels. And this is just, again, an example of what we might look at for residential. Non-residential is a bit different. I've got an example here on the sewer side where we're pulling very specific sewer customers and looking at how their sewer bill might change over time. And we'll do this for a number of different rate scenarios. It tends to be less of an average impact on the commercial side and more specific to, again, the unique business and the unique way that they interact with the utilities, the service that they use. And so do a lot more of a deep dive thinking about outliers and different types of businesses that would potentially have outsized impacts or impacts that are much less, of course, from different rate design decisions that we're making. And then, of course, part of it is benchmarking as well. So as I mentioned, the city of Columbia is unique in one sense. It runs these services for the jurisdictional boundaries of the city. But of course, others offer these services as well within their other peer municipalities. What we do as part of the rate study is an exercise to grab some of that information so that we can generate graphics like this, where we can determine where we currently sit with regards to our peers. There's going to be differences, of course, between Columbia and its other peers. It might be age of the system or different technologies or investments that we've made over time. So there's always a caveat here, but it's always helpful to have that understanding. I think it's also useful sometime looking at the actual rate components to see if we're falling within the normal rate setting practices or we're doing something a bit different. And if we are, why are we doing that? Maybe there's a very good reason for that because cities are unique and are different and there may be reasons that we can extract from that. But benchmarking is a very helpful thing just to level set and find where we are. I'll move on next to the topic of connection fees. And so connection fees are a little bit different than the rates I just went through. So connection fees are a one-time payment for a new connection on the system. And so what you're essentially, one way to think about it is you're essentially buying into the system with a sewer connection fee or a sewer impact fee, as it's called in other places in the industry. That is oftentimes paid by developers or somebody that's developing a property for the very first time. There are several accepted methodologies to arrive at updated impact fees. And so what we'll be doing is taking a really deep dive into the sewer investments and fixed asset data that exist in the city to understand the historical investment the city has made, what that costs currently if you had to make that investment today, knowing some of that was made many, many years ago that's still in service and still supporting customers, and looking at what the current fee is and if that can be supported or if the costs justify a change to that fee. As I mentioned, though, there are several methodologies here, so I'll go through them real quickly. Buy-in methodology, that will likely be the most appropriate for the city of Columbia. And that's where you have an existing system, has plenty of capacity. We're not looking at any new treatment plants in the near-term horizon or big changes to incremental capacity. We're just trying to essentially calculate what the current value of the system is and the representative that value, representative portion of that value to a new connection. The incremental approach is an approach where we do the same analysis as the buy-in, but we have maybe a new treatment plant or a number of maybe very large pump stations that are going, something in the near future that's a large addition to capacity of the system. And what we want to do is essentially blend the two costs together to recognize the fact that we've made historical investments and recognize that we have new investments that may come at a much higher cost than historical investments, so we're blending the two together. And then finally, and I actually just went through the combined as I was talking to that, incremental is the final one that I'll mention, the second one on this list. Incremental is when, instead of considering any historical investments, it's really a case where you're potentially building out a brand new system, or you've got a very young system that's just building out. You'd only consider the future investments that are being made and the costs associated with those investments. So you may be building a brand new treatment plant, and we want the cost to buy in to be associated with the current cost of that treatment plant, the unit cost of that new treatment plant. Just a breakdown on this slide, the math at the end of the day is really simple as far as the equation for this. The devil's in the details as far as the assets. So the assets tend to be exceedingly lengthy as far as the number of assets, the types of assets, the years that they were invested in, and the conversations that have to happen with regards to how those assets are currently serving the system. But once you get that, you essentially have the value of the system in current day dollars. So we're going to bring everything up from its historical investment period to 2026 and think about the current value of the system as if we had to replace it this year. We're going to minus off any credits on it. So credits to think about, that might be previous grants where we paid for investments with grants or dollars that were outside of the utilities rate base. Additionally, debt. So if we had taken debt out, we don't typically include that in a connection fee because it's going to continue to be paid for in the operating rate, so we back it off of the system. And so we're just making very standard adjustments to arrive at a fee that is representative of the current cost of capacity on the sewer side of the equation for this particular study. And then this example I brought up, this is actually, of course, it says water, and we're talking sewer and wastewater. I brought this example up. This is actually from last year's water presentation, which just shows you a great example of the relative update on this. And so I don't take this as an expectation for where we're headed, but it essentially shows what we're trying to do, which is in water's case, we had a fee that was $578 for a brand new standard connection. When we updated it, it was a little over $1,000, $1,069. And so what we're looking to do again is grab that most recent list of assets, compare the current fee that's in place to what we calculate as the current cost of capacity, and then think about adjustments over time in order to ensure that we're getting close to that. The other thing that is I always mention as this is, you know, there is a zero-sum game here. So this is paid by growth. If these fees are not at or close to cost recovery, then other ratepayers are making up the difference. And so that's one of the critical parts of these studies when we think about how these different fees work together in order to provide the resources to run a utility such as a sewer utility in the city of Columbia. These are very complex, very expensive utilities. These types of fees help offset, when new growth comes onto the system, pay for that capacity they're using that otherwise other ratepayers would pay for. So finally today, we get to the project schedule that we'll be outlining. So the project schedule here, we're just getting kicked off here today and having conversations about Rates 101, where we're headed on this study. As we move forward here, things will develop pretty quickly. So we've already received a good amount of data from the city and began on our first task here as we enter February, which is the financial plan or revenue sufficiency. We'll be moving right out of that in mid-February over to cost of service. And digging into the details of both utilities from a cost of service perspective, and then expecting on the tail of that, given the interconnection of these different parts of the study to move into rate design in the March time period, which will put us in a great position as we move into April and May to have the preliminary results and start to have the recommendations come out of the study. We'll be fitting probably in March the connection fee as well, that analysis, which is the one-off analysis I just went through. That will put us in a really good period to have those conversations in this year, in spring, as we go into the summer, likely, and I didn't put this on here, for implementation of the recommendations for next fiscal year. So at the end of the end of the day, that's ultimately usually when these types of recommendations come into play. And so we like to get the conversation started on those early. That's all I've got tonight, but any particular questions that you may have, happy to answer that, or any other slides you'd like me to go back to, can of course go back.